Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We started a new Chodesh since we last met, so Chodesh Tov to everybody. Cheshvan is the month when nothing really happens, which is very unusual for the Jewish calendar year, except that it is the month when the flood began, according to one opinion, the second month on the 17th of the month. So the Mabul began in this month. Other than that, it's a regular month when we daven for Besuros Tovos and Refuos and Yeshuos. This year is dedicated Lulu Nishmasa, on the Zeicher Nishmasa, Miriam Ful, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHasham, Miriam Hashama merit a continuous aliyah in the merit of the Torah learning that we will share this evening. So, last week we had what I thought was a very powerful shiur. It wasn't my own, so it wasn't my own insight, so I feel I could say that. I wasn't on airplane mode. 1 minute, please. Okay, I just turned on airplane mode so I don't get messages. I didn't realize. We had what I thought was a pretty powerful shiur based on an insight of Rabbi Lam, Al-Kein Yazov. The last thing, sentence that was quoted in our Sefer was the pasuk from the end of Perek Beis in Bereishis, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife and they shall become one flesh. And we spend some time based on that, using that as a point of departure. In our Sefer, we're talking about the Bnei Basar, juxtaposed to Nefesh and Neshama, what is our goal in life? So I noticed the very next morning, not that I never noticed it before, but it stood out to me very strongly the next morning, on Wednesday evening. So Thursday when I was davening, could you see my screen? Yes? Yes or no? How come someone is saying yes and someone is saying no? How could that be? I don't know what that means. Can you see my screen? You could see my screen. Okay. So it can't be someone yes and someone no. Oh, you had a Gmail account. That's fine. Okay. I just went into the internet. I prepared different screens that we need this evening. So I couldn't help but notice, or it stood out to me, I should say, the very next morning, Aleinu L'shabech, so which is what you see on my screen here. Okay. How do we conclude our tfilos? Not one time a day, three times a day, Shachris, Mincha, and Arvis. It is upon us, or incumbent upon us, to praise the master of all. So when we go to the second paragraph, did it stand out to anybody else after last week's shir, when we spoke about Basar vis-a-vis Nefesh? So it was very apparent to me. And therefore, we put our hope in you, Hashem our God, liros mehera, to see very quickly the glory of your strength. To remove galal, literally means excrement, to remove the idols from the earth. And the false god should immediately be smote down, surely be smote down. To establish the whole world on the kingship of God, or the chol b'nei vasar yikru'u v'shemecha, and all the b'nei basar, we spoke last week about this in depth, all the men of sons of flesh should call in your name, lahafnos elacha kol rishay aretz, all the wicked of the earth should turn to you. Yakiru v'yedu, they shall recognize and know, all the inhabitants of the land, that all knees will bow to you, all tongues will swear to you. Okay, so I noticed this right after our shir. V'chol b'nei basar yikru v'shemecha, all the sons of flesh should call in your name, to turn to you, all the wicked of the earth. So I'm going to be going now into a piece by Rav Soloveitchik, where he talks about, and it's funny because it's actually in Parshas Noach. Last week, our author, our Sefer, mentioned the pasuk in Sefer Parshas Bereishis that yielded our entire shir. And this coming Shabbos is Parshas Noach. And here we spoke about the basar. I noticed that Aleinu Bnei Basar, and I went back to look up and relearn a essay of Rav Soloveitchik. What is, continuing our theme of last week, what are the Bnei Basar? Last week we had one approach. What does it mean in Aleinu? When we say all the sons of flesh will call upon your name in the Messianic age. What are the Rishei Aretz, the wicked of the earth? What is the difference between the Bnei Basar and the Rishei Aretz? So Rav Soloveitchik says we say it every day, not only every day, but three times a day. The society which consists of V'chol Bnei Basar, Yikru B'Shemecha, It means a group, a community of people, a society consisting of Bnei Basar. What is Bnei Basar? So you should know that if you looked in my sefer here, I have notations. I'm not reading you the whole entire essay. I took out excerpts of what I will share with you to give you an idea of what are the Bnei Basar, what are the Rishei Aretz who will all recognize God in the Messianic age, and what does that have to do with our society today? And then the Salvechik says, or mankind may join, not the Bnei Basar, but another group of people, the Rishei Aretz, the Rishaim, the wicked people, all the people will turn to you, from the Bnei Basar, the sons of flesh, to the Rishei Aretz, the wicked of the earth. But what is the difference? In the Messianic era, the Bnei Basar will invoke God. The Rishei Aretz will turn their faces to God. So this is a vision of the Messianic era. But who are the Bnei Basar and who are the Rishei Aretz? So they're obviously two different groups of people that he says. Who are they? So interesting, just like Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb last week we quoted, Rav Salvechik also says, we're talking about a period before Avraham Avinu, when we first see the Bnei Basar and the Rishei Aretz. And mankind without Avraham Avinu, without a great moral teacher, mankind without morality, can be divided into two groups. There are two different types of wickedness that permeate our earth. One group is the Bnei Basar, what we could translate as sons of flesh, and the other group is the Rishei Aretz, and you will see when we get to the end of this piece that unfortunately the Bnei Basar and the Rishei Aretz are, Rachmana Litzlan, alive and well. So where do we see Bnei Basar in the Chumash asks of Salvechik, and where do we see the Rishei Aretz? Interestingly, they are both in Parshas Noach. So first we will go to the Bnei Basar. We are in Parshas Noach, Perek Vav, chapter 6. Parshas Noach begins, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes. And what are we told in Parshas Noach? Hashem says to Noach, Kate called Basar, here's the word, the end of all flesh has come before me, because the earth is full of chames mipneihem. Rashi says, lo nechtar gzardinim ela ha-gazel. Their fate was sealed because of robbery, thievery. V'hinini mashchisem es ha-oretz. Behold, I'm about to destroy the earth. So in the time of Noach, we see that they are people of Basar. I should have started on Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayar Elokim es ha-oretz v'hine nishchasa. God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Ki hishchis kol Basar. As dark all arts, because all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. So in the time of Noach, the people are deserving of destruction, and the people are referred to as basar. Both in Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Beis, right here, ki hishchis kol basar as dark all arts. Obviously, this is before Avraham Avinu. We meet Avraham Avinu right at the end of Perek Yud Aleph in Parshas Noach. There are 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. So now we're still 10 generations away from Avraham Avinu, and the people are referred to as Basar in the time of Noach. Again, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hashem says to Noach, Kates call Basar Balafanai. The end of all flesh has come before me, because the earth is full of sinful people. Who are the Rishei Aretz? We also meet them in Parshas Noach. Who are the Rishei Aretz? Any suggestions? If the Bnei Basar, I didn't have a document up. If the Bnei Basar are the people in the time of Noach, and we know in the time of Noach, Rashi tells us, what were the sins of the Dor HaMabel? The sins of the Dor HaMabel, says Rashi, were, well, you can't answer me, so I'm just going to tell you, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Erva, sexual immorality, and Chamas, which Rashi translates, Chazal explained, is thievery, robbery. Okay. Now, you might expect it to say the three cardinal sins. If I have Avodah Zarah and I have Gilui Arayos, why don't I have Shvichus Damim? But the reality is that Gezel is a form of Shvichus Damim. If a person steals somebody else's identity, if a person steals someone else's money or property, a person literally can become like a Nechshav Kameis. An Ani is Nechshav Kameis. If a poor person is considered a dead person and you steal enough from somebody else, it's as if you killed them. So in a sense, they were over in some sense. The three cardinal sins, but the three sins were idolatry, immorality, gezel. This was the Bnei Basar. Who's the Rishei Aretz? Also, we meet them in Parshas Noach. Nobody wrote anything. Oh, someone did write something. Ah, very, very nice. The Dor HaFlaga, who we meet in Perek Yud Aleph. So let's go to Perek Yud Aleph. The Dor HaFlaga, who we meet at the end of Parshas Noach, are a different generation. They are identified as the Rishei Aretz, the wicked of the earth. So let us look just at the Pshat of Perek Yud Aleph in Parshas Noach. Vayihi kol haaretz Safa achas, excuse me. The whole land spoke one language, divarim achadim, and uniform words, like from Achdus. Okay? So whereas in the time of Noah, the people were not friends with each other. They were full of erva, they were full of gazel, chamas, thievery, robbery. In the time of the Dor HaFlaga, the generation of dispersion, the people worked together. They spoke one language, and they were united in one word. So they traveled from the east, and they found a valley in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And all of a sudden, one man said to his friend, you know, let us make bricks, and let us burn them, let us put them in the kiln, let us have the strong bricks, and it will be that the bricks and the mortar will be for material, and what will we do? We will build a city and a tall tower. Sorry. The head of the tower will reach the heavens. We will make a name for themselves. Lest we be scattered upon the face of the entire earth. And God came down, so to speak, to see the city and the tower that they have built, that the sons of man built. And Hashem said, behold, they are one nation and one language for all of them. And this is what they have begun to do. And now it will not be withheld from them all that they plan to do. Let us go down and confuse their language, so one man cannot hear the language of his brother. Vayivetz Hashem osam misham al pnei kol aretz. God scattered them over the face of the entire earth. Vayichadlu livnos ha'ir. So they ceased building the city. And therefore this is called Bavel. Why? Kisham Balal Hashem, because there Hashem mixed up the language of the earth, and from there God scattered them. This is Perek Yud, Psukim Aleph through Tes. So in the beginning of Parshas Noach, in the time of the Dor HaMabel, the people were washed away by the flood, we meet the Bnei Basar. In Perek Yud Aleph, we meet the Rishei Aretz. Why? Why did I think of this at all? Because last week we spoke about Yazov Ishas Aviv Eshimo V'Davak Bishto V'Ayula Basar Echad. The next morning in Aleinu, when I said Chol B'nei Basar Yikuv V'Shemecha, it really stood out in my mind. So we've seen the sources. Let's quote, going back now to the essay by Rav Soloveitchik. I want to make sure my recorder is working. Yes. Rav Soloveitchik says, we have the Dor HaMabel, the B'nei Basar, and we have the Dor HaFlaga, the generation of dispersion, if you will. The Dor HaMabel consisted of Bnei Basar, ki hishchis kol basar es darko al ha'aretz. The Dor HaFlaga, I'll explain, but you'll agree, it was not Bnei Basar, it was Rishei Aretz. Who are the Bnei Basar? Or I should say, what is the ideal or the societal norm of the Bnei Basar? What is the symbol of the Dor HaMabel? We know, one second. Right, so you have to wait. Chana, you have to wait. We're getting there. We're starting with identifying the Bnei Basar in the time of Noach. And then we will get Be'ezrat Hashem to understanding why the Dor HaFlaga were the Rishei Aretz. Okay? I know you might be thinking of the Rashi that says the Dor HaFlaga was better than the Dor HaMabel. God only scattered them, he didn't kill them all, because they worked with Achdus with each other. So Rashi says, famous Rashi in Perek Yirav, Rashi says, look at the power of Shalom. They got along with each other. So even though they rebelled against God, because they got along with each other, Hashem didn't destroy them, he just scattered them. The Bnei Basar in the time of Noah were so corrupt and mean to each other, Hashem destroyed them all. But just hold your question. It's a good question, but Rav Soloveitchik is going to answer for you. What is the sin of the Bnei Basar? So we know that right before we come to Parshas Noach, in the beginning of Perek Vav, at the end of Parshas Bereishis, we are told that the people were very wicked. Rashi says they would steal women from under the wedding canopy. They had become completely corrupt. That a woman under her wedding canopy, the men would go and they would take her and they would be intimate with her, not in a positive or willing or etc. way, and they would take advantage of her. So Bnei Basar is literally what it sounds like, men of flesh, pleasure seekers. So Rav Soloveitchik says, we just celebrated, let me tell you what year this is. This is 1974. Wait till you hear his explanation and how it applies to today, 2020. And again, he says, we just celebrated Rosh Hashanah a lot long ago. And what do we say in the Malchios portion? What is the substance of Malchios? Surrender to Hashem. The destruction, furthermore, and complete defeat of paganism. And that's when we say the Aleinu. V'chol b'nei basar yikru v'shemecha. All the sons of flesh will call on your name. What does that mean? Destruction, complete disappearance of Avodah Zarah, idolatry. And we say it in Aleinu Shebech 3 times a day. It's an important prayer. It's paganism. It's pleasure seeking. It's those who seek to purely fulfill the desire of the flesh without limitation, without morality, without law, without norm. Do whatever makes you feel good. This is the B'nai Basar. If a woman is under a wedding canopy and you're interested in having your way with her, then no problem. Go have your way with her. That is Rashi to Perek Vav. Pasuk Beis. Okay. Are we concerned today with the problem of paganism, says Rav Salvechik, 1974. If somewhere in Africa there's a primitive tribe which worships the spirit of the tree, are we concerned with that? Why do we say Malchus or Rosh Hashanah? We've been saying it year after year for the last 1900 years. Is it so important? What are the B'nai Basar that we're waiting for them to turn, Yikru V'Shamecha, to call in the name of God? So what's the answer, he says? Jews are practical, clever, capable. Apparently, however, mankind is pagan. Not as far as the ceremonial is concerned. He doesn't observe anything. There is no ceremony. Man today is a skeptic. We are in a generation of skeptics, materialists, skeptics, atheists. We're not worried about Avodah Zarah. So first he's going to prove that when we say V'chol B'nei Basar Yikru V'Shamecha, we're not talking about those who worship idolatry today. We're talking about a pagan culture, a pagan way of life, a flesh-seeking, pleasure-seeking society. But the way of life of mankind is pagan. Completely pagan. What does this mean? Pagan is immoral. A person who is not aware of morals is not as bad as a person who is aware but reverses the moral norm. A person who is not aware of morals is not as bad as one who is aware but reverses the moral norm and converts the immoral into moral. It's worse to be aware of what morality really is and convert morality into immorality and make that immorality moral. You make what's completely disgusting, completely reprehensible, completely anti-Torah, completely anti-Teva into normal, into moral norms. That's B'nai Basar. Rabosei, I ask you, if the world today is a society of B'nai Basar, paganism preaches a way of life. They are overly sensitive to the unredeemed carnal beauty, carnal pleasure, where they take immorality and they make it moral. I'm not going to give specific examples of society today. But if you follow the news with half an eye open, a quarter of an eye open, we live in a society where complete immoral ways are preached as absolute morality and the right way, instituted as law. What do the B'nai Basar do, says Rav Salvechik? What do they preach here in American society, in Western society, 1974? One thing, one topic, permissiveness. Nothing should interfere with man who wants to enjoy life. No norms, no commands, no responsibility, no restriction. We think of 1974 as the most pure time compared to today. What should we say today if this was 1974? But B'nai Basar preach permissiveness. Nothing should interfere with how you want to live your life. Nothing should interfere if man wants to enjoy life. No norms, no commands, no responsibilities, no restrictions. If man thinks this is the way to enjoy life, If I derive pleasure from doing things this way, then I have the right. Even if it's completely immoral, the most disgusting, debased, upside down way of living, if it makes my busser feel good, not only do I do it, I make it moral. And anyone who speaks against it is immoral. They're the bad guys. Anyone who tries to preach morality is not politically correct. Your life will be over. You are wrong. This is what they institute into their code of law. This is part of his freedom. He has the right to gratify all of his carnal needs. No surrender to the law. Nothing in the society of B'nai Basar defiles a person. There's no such thing as Tumah. Nothing contaminates a person. A person lives to do one thing. Satisfy his desires. However you want to be, whoever you want to be, with whoever you want to be, whichever bathroom you want to use, no problem. I'm not making a joke. It satisfies your desires. That's fine. That's the B'nai Basar. That's their philosophy. Rav Soloveitchik says in 1974, I can never predict what modern society will come up with. Everything is possible. The most abnormal, I'm quoting, obnoxious, repellent ideas may be introduced in the form of legislation to Congress. These words are prophetic, but it's really in the Torah. I can never predict what modern society will come up with. Everything and anything is possible. The most abnormal, obnoxious, repellent ideas may be introduced in the form of legislation in Congress. That's the new law of the land. This is a fact. I was told. I don't know when the law was passed recently. But in New York, parents no longer have to declare on the birth certificate of their child the gender of the child. There's no more gender. Says the Rav, the most abnormal, obnoxious, repellent ideas may be introduced in the form of legislation to Congress. And now, since it's modern to be liberal, it's quite in vogue to be heretical. So any law can and will be adopted. The Supreme Court in America is the most unpredictable body. Did you see, he says, did you read carefully the decision about abortion, 1974? Today they have late-term abortion. It's legal. Kid's 9 months old, go ahead. Stick scissors into their brain as they're about to emerge from the mother, and it's not murder. It's abortion, it's inconvenient for the mother. Whatever makes you feel good is B'nai Basar. And that's where we live, Rabosai. That's where we live. This is B'nai Basar, says the Rav. Unredeemed beauty. We, Yahadus, cherishes beauty, but redeem beauty with restrictions, with laws, with Kedusha. B'nai Basar are unredeemed, vulgar, coarse people. And what they preach is non-interference on the part of ethics and morality. Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me what gender I'm. Don't tell me what bathroom to use. Don't tell me when to kill my baby in utero. Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me about your ethics and morality. Because my immorality has become the norm. The B'nai Basar preach non-interference on the part of ethics and morality. Man wants to enjoy life, that's it. A pagan way of life. Rest upon egocentric hedonism. Yes, it was at the time of Roe v. Wade. You're correct. The footnote says, when the Rav Soloveitchik says, this is, I'm quoting from a sefer called The Rav Thinking Aloud on the Parsha Sefer Bereishis. It's transcripts of Shiurim of Rabbi Soloveitchik, compiled and edited by David Holzer. Maybe Rabbi David Holzer, I believe. So he just puts his name David Holzer on the cover, but I believe it's Rabbi Holzer. And so he has footnotes to clarify sometimes. Like there's an inaudible word. It says in parentheses, I skipped a sentence, but it says inaudible. So these are transcripts of his shiurim. So the footnote, you're correct, says presumably the Rav is referring to Roe versus Wade. Okay, so you're correct. The pagan way of life rests upon the idea of egocentric hedonism. This is declared by pagans to be morally desirable. Do you understand what the Bnei Basar do? They don't sin and they're embarrassed. They're proud of their way of life. This is the new moral. This is the way of life. This is morally desirable. And if you stand up for morals, ethics, God forbid, live a Torah life, you're backwards. You're racist. You're politically incorrect. You're telling other people how to live. We are free. In other words, free man is expected to reject any restrictive norm. If restrictive norms interfere with my hedonic freedom, then they have to be abolished. The permissive society is the pagan society which heads towards disaster. The permissive society is the pagan society which heads towards disaster. The permissive society consists of the Bnei Basar, the children of flesh. They are obedient only to flesh and biological pleasure and pressure. In a word, hedonic society, the Dor HaMabul, drove itself and the environment to annihilation. Rashi tells us that even the animals were with those not of their kind. Ki hishchis kol basar, 6:12, Rashi says, afilu behema chaya va'of, even domestic animals, beasts and birds, nizkakin l'she'enan mina, and had relations with those not of their kind. In the society of the Bnei Basar, anything becomes permissible. Sometimes we focus so much on Noah and the flood. You forget to look at the context, the society, the environment, the generation into which Noah lived. The Dor HaMabul, the pagan society, drove itself and the environment to annihilation. This is exactly what happens to the Western part of the world, the so-called democratic world, the so-called free world. So it's interesting, they're saying the Bnei Basar, Joanna, sound very similar to Yavan and Greek society. And it's interesting because perhaps Yafes, Sheim Cham Yafes, took some of this, I don't know, with him and calculated it, passed it down to that society. Why didn't Nachash desire to cohabit without his one kind? I don't understand the question. Is it just me? Why didn't Nachash? One second, Joanna, you're correct. The Bnei Basar are very similar to Yavan and the Greek society. Didn't Nachash desire to cohabit without his one kind? Yes, he wanted Isha, correct. Why wasn't he destroyed? Nachash was also the Yetzer Hara. He wasn't destroyed, and we're fighting with him ever since. Man is born to struggle against the Yetzer Hara, represented by Nachash. Hashem cursed him, but he left a remnant of him. So this is what happens to the Western part of the world, the so-called democratic world, or the free world. Okay. What is, to go back to Chana Wasserman's question, and I say, please hold it, because we're going to get there. If that's the Bnei Basar, what is the Rishei Aretz? Remember, we started the Shir in Alinu. Alinu Shebech Adonokol. That says, Otsar Brishas. We translate it right here. Oh no, I'm not starting from Alinu. Are we so concerned with idols, says Rav Salvechik? It's not the idolatry that needs to be eradicated from this world. In other words, the Bnei Basar, who make immorality the law of the land, in the Messianic era, they will call on the name of God. They will understand, halavai, it should be immediate in our days, that succumbing to the desires of the flesh as a paganistic hedonic society is not the moral way. What is the Rishei Aretz? From the beginning of Shir, we looked at Perek Yud Aleph, Parshas Noach, Perek Vav, also Parshas Noach. Salvechik distinguishes between the Bnei Basar and the Rishei Aretz as being the Dor Mabel and the Dor Flaga respectively. So, Chana Wasserman said, what was so bad? Was it Chana Wasserman who said? Yeah, what makes a Dor Flaga? Rishei Aretz. In fact, they sound like they're pretty good people. Why? Because I showed you two on the screen before. I'm not going to go back to the screen share. I'm just going to tell you the pasuk. Vayhi kol ha'aretz safa echas udvarim achadim. The whole earth spoke one language and unified words. Dvarim achadim, from the word achdus. They had achdus, these people. So they start to build a tower and they're going to fight against God in the heavens, but they seem like to be good people. In fact, Rashi tells us, and I quoted it already, Rashi to Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk tes. Rashi says, v'chi ezer kasha, which is worse? Shadar Hamabel, Shadar Flaga. Which generation was worse? The generation of the flood or the generation of disunion, dispersion? Elu lo pashtu yad b'ikar. These ones, the generation of the flood, did not lack belief in fundamental truths. The Elu, the ones who built the Tower of Babel, pashtu yad b'ikar. They were trying to rebel against God. It's one thing to steal from your friend. You're going to build a tower to reach God? Lihilachimbo. They thought they could wage war against Ribbono Shel Olam. But the people of the flood were washed away, and the people of the Tower of Babel were not destroyed from the world. Ela Shadar Mabel Haya Gazlonim. The generation of the flood were robbers. V'haisim Miriva Beinehem. They quarreled with their friends. Lakach Ne'evdu. Because of Bein Adam and Malcolm, they were washed away. Ve'elu Hayu No Hagim Ahava V'Reus Beinehem. But while they built the tower, they got along very well. They had Ahava, love, Reus, friendship between them. Could you imagine? To teach you, says Rashi, how despicable is machlokas and how beloved is peace, shalom. That's what Rashi says. So you might think, like Chana asked, what was so bad about the Dor HaFlaga that it made them Rishei Aretz? So let me quote the first pasuk in Perek Yud Aleph again. Vayhi kol ha'aretz safa echas udvarim achadim. The whole earth was one language and unified words. Going to Rav Salvechik. There is another way of life which paganism came up with. Not only the Bnei Basar, but the Rishei Aretz. It's a very strange way of life. It is a society which is over-disciplined. It is dedicated, completely dedicated, without restriction, unconditionally dedicated to a certain idea, a certain doctrine or philosophy, a certain economic or political system. You'll hear who he's about to describe, but I think, doesn't say it outright, that it's indicated in Pasuk Aleph, Safa achas udvarim achadim. Everybody must toe the party line. Safa achas. Everyone speaks the same way. They are devoted to abstract words, a formula. They are ready to sacrifice mankind for an ideal. Stalin, I think, killed 20 million people. 20 million people died under the Russian regime. Communism, starvation, Siberia, KGB. Safa achas udvarim achadim. While man in the first society wants to be free, Bnei Basar, no norm to interfere with my enjoyment of life. Man in the second society, the Rishei Aretz, is overly disciplined. And men in society become slaves, a rigid, inflexible being, because you believe in a system, a philosophy contrived by man. So in Russia, communist Russia, there could be no practicing of religion. A Jew who wore tzitzis, it wasn't even possible, who tried to observe the mitzvos, who wanted to daven, there was no religion. The religion became their doctrine, their ideal, their philosophy. There was no other way. Safa achas udvarim achadim. Everybody must speak the same way, the same language. Whatever he does, he must comply with the law, the wrong law, but the law of the land. And this man gives preference to the doctrine over a living soul. We know when they were building the tower, if a man fell down and died, nothing, they wouldn't care. But if a brick fell down and died, it was a whole disaster. It was a Tisha B'Av. The doctrine is supreme, and everybody must speak the same language, say the same things, believe in the same ideal. There is no other way to think. So this man, the Rishay Aretz, gives preference to the doctrine over a living soul, to the figment of some human utopia. There's a figment that we will reach utopia. Utopian ideas over human reality. Who rules in this society? Power-hungry men who want to possess and own the individuals in his society. What's he talking about? Communism, socialism. They want to deprive the individual of his soul. They want to depersonalize him and convert him into a machine. You are working for an ideal. Everyone has the same amount of money. Everyone waits on the breadline. Everyone practices the religion of communism. Everyone believes in the power of the state. Safa achas udvarim achadim. The ideal in this society is to become an object, the objectification of man. That's Dor HaFlaga. That's why they're Rishei Aretz. The Bnei Basar are flesh pleasure-seeking individuals, where they make the immoral moral, where they make anti-law law. The Rishei Aretz, you know, tomorrow, if you daven Arvis, I do not yet, in my Avodah Hashem, have reached the Madrega. Robertson Kanievsky daven three tefillos a day, Hani Machas Tevas or Yertzei. Hani Machas daven three tefillos a day. If you are a woman who davens three times a day and you daven Arvis, you're going to say this tonight. Maybe you daven the right. Now you're going to say tomorrow morning. Think of what we're davening for. Think of the society in which we live and what you're davening for. What is the Dor HaFlaga of our Dor do, said Rav Soloveitchik? To organize. They convert mankind into an army, an officer corps. In Russia, they would take them for 25 years. They introduce uniformity. They eliminate versatility. Anyone who speaks up against the government, his life will be over. Woke culture is coming for you. Say the wrong thing, your life is over. Parshas Noach. They don't believe each individual should have his own approach to life. They do not believe each individual has his own unique talent. Quote, they will tell you how to write. They will tell you how to paint. They will tell you how to engage in culture. They will tell you how to think scientifically. If you toe the party line, you're good. And if you don't, you're dead. If a man fell off while building the tower, nobody cared. But if a brick representing the building of their society fell down, everyone had a Tisha B'Av. A brick fell. Says Rav Soloveitchik, you know this very well. I don't have to tell it to you. Again, they will tell you how to write, how to paint, how to engage in sculpture, how to think scientifically. You know this very well. I don't have to tell it to you. How to speak. They will tell you what phrases to say. Sometimes, says Rav Soloveitchik, I listen, I tune into the radio. I hear a Russian representative speaking. He is addressing the United Nations, the UN. In English, it doesn't come through well, but a little Russian, says Rav, I still remember from his childhood in White Russia. So I read his speech in Russian. I don't understand everything, but parts I understand. It is the same language that was used in 1905. It is the same language which I remember as a child during the Bolshevik Revolution of 1918. It is the same language which Lenin used. There is not an additional word. And it's the same language we see emerging today. One way, one norm, one party line, equality for all. There should be equality for all, but not everyone's equal in terms of finances. Not everyone's equal in terms of gender. Not everyone's equal in terms of religion. Not everyone's equal in terms of their freedom of speech. But today they make it out. And if you disagree, they send you to Siberia. It is the same language of 1905, 1918, Lenin, 1974, says the Rav. There is not an additional word. There is not a single word, not a single term. It is the same language, exclamation mark, which means he emphasized it. The imperialists did this. The governing ruling circles. There is no development, no progress. The same thoughts, no creativity. In the Rishei Aretz society, man is a machine. Man is a slave. That's the Dor HaFlaga. And now, concluding paragraph. If you ask me, should I give you a description of mankind now? This was 1974. It was 2 years before I was born. This was like 46 years ago. Mankind today, says Rav Soloveitchik, today, 46 years ago, almost half a century ago. So what should we say today? Maybe we should have more kavana when we daven aleinu. I'm not talking about you, me. It's the end of the davening. You're finished all the important stuff. I said the Hava Rabba. I said the Shema. I was makabal ma'achu shemayim. I davened my Shemona Esra. I even had kavana. I remember the Alva Yavo. I said ma'ashu v'ruach. Aleinu, I'm closing the sitter and walking to the kitchen and talking to the kids. I'm getting out of my day. 3 times a day. Are we really davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Because if we ever needed this tefillah to come to fruition, it's today. And now if you'll ask me, I should give you a description of mankind now. I'll tell you, mankind is divided into two societies. One society consists of the B'nai Basar. The original was in the time of Noach, Dor HaMabul. Today, says Rav Soloveitchik, the B'nai Basar is the Western society. Western promiscuity. It has become much worse in the half a century since this shir was given. Another society consists of the Rishei Aretz. And they too are alive and well today. This is China and Russia. If you read about China, says Rav Soloveitchik, they are over-disciplined. They are like machines. So even though Rashi takes a different shot, and Rashi's quoting the Medrash, the Pasuk tells us, looks very nice, Vayi kol aretz safa echas, v'dvarim achadim, it's a warning sign. It's flashing lights. Safa echas, not everyone can speak the exact same language. Udvarim achadim, not everyone can speak the exact same unified words. 1 second. I wanted to see if I could find where Rashi writes. Maybe it's not Rashi who brings it down. I thought it was, but I could be wrong. That a person fell, they didn't care. A brick fell, it was a crisis. So if you read about China, the Rishei Aretz are over-disciplined. They are like machines. And so much faith in the norm that nothing else matters but the doctrine. And that's the Rishei Aretz. The human being and his personality, his desires, his ability to express his freedom of speech. The human being becomes completely irrelevant in the face of the Rishei Aretz. I think today when we look at society, we have a convergence, a marriage, if you will, a union of the B'nai Basar with the Rishei Aretz in the quest for pleasure-seeking, carnal, hedonic pleasure. They have also adopted the norms of the Rishei Aretz. That anyone who speaks contrary to immoral ways which have become moral will find very quickly, Rachmana Litzlan, that his life may just be over. May the Ribbono Shel Olam save us. May we have some more kavana. May we say Aleinu. May we understand what we are davening for. May we understand what we are lacking in the world today. May we understand what the messianic era will bring us. And there is hope, because it is also in Parshas Noach, Baruch Hashem, that we meet Avraham Avinu. Because 10 generations after Noach, Vayichi Terach Shivim Shana Vayodes Avram Es Nachor Ves Haran. Vayikach Avram V'Nachor Em Nashim Shem Eishas Avram Sarai. Shem Eishas Nachor Milka. And at the end of Parshas Noach, we meet Avram Avinu, who in light of the B'nai Basar and Rishay Oretz will bring a new norm of true morality to the world in which we live. Be'ezras Hashem, the Ribono Shel Olam should give us the Siyata Dishmaya to continue to be Torah dig Jews, al pi the Mesorah that we have received from our Rabbanim in generations past, our parents, until the great Animami Bevias HaMashiach, V'afal Pisha Yismame Im Koza Achakwa B'chol Yom Shayavo, when the Gelulim and the Alilim will be destroyed and removed, and even the Bnei Basar and the Rishay Eretz will recognize V'haya B'yamahu Yasham Echad Ushmo Echad. And the Sham of Miriam Ful and Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak Allah Sham should have a continuous aliyah. May she be a Melitza Yoshar, not only for her family, but all of Klal Yisrael, for Besuros Tovos and the Geula Asida. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody. Besuros Tovos, Chodesh Tov, and again, Shabbat.